Green? Green? You find out at the end of the sermon, but no. A rash of good luck. I don't know if you ever think of poison ivy as good luck, but anyway, I'm glad to be here this morning. It's exciting. It's fun to be at a church where you hear action going on. Amen? All right. That's what I like. This morning, my message stems out of Galatians, and that's what we're going to be in this morning. It actually started from a memorial service I did a while back on harvesting and reaping, and it got me started there. But if you'll please stand and for the reading of God's Word, I'd like to read just a little bit of Galatians in respect to that this morning. This is Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning, Lord. And Lord, just pray that I don't mess it up, Lord, that I stand out of your way, Lord, that you will speak to hearts here this morning, Lord, that our minds will be clear and can be focused upon you, Lord, that our ears will be able to hear your teaching to us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as I started this, and that was the passage I really wanted to speak about, but then as I read the whole chapter of Galatians 6, it's like, man, there's a lot of good things in there that I'd like to kind of share. And a lot of them verses are pretty much, there's some one-liners in there that I kind of want to focus on, kind of just some little zingers that kind of zing in there. It's like, I better pay attention a little bit, you know? And there's about four of them in there I want to pull out of there, but I'm just basically going to read Galatians this morning and let you guys figure out what's really going on. Because sometimes you can't improve on God's word, as in most all the time. But and I'm reading out of a New Living Translation, which is, as I've told the guys in Bible study, a little bit liberal once in a while. So be careful with that. But dear brothers and sisters, if another believer, this is chapter 6, verse 1 of Galatians. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path and be careful not to fall into that same temptation. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Here's the zinger, verse 3. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. That one kind of zung home right with me right off the bat. I mean, first of all, he says, you know, we're supposed to come and help people that are dealing with sin. And, you know, to be overcome with sin, sometimes that's pretty obvious to see that. But a lot of times as Christians, we're not really just, or I'm not observant enough to know when somebody's maybe dealing with a little bit of sin. But I've had people come around me before who have said things in just passing that have probably kind of pulled me or directed me. They may not have even have known that. But if you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. I've been that guy, and I didn't have to look very far back into my history. Like within 2 weeks, I was that guy, that very guy. I was too important. I saw a brother in Christ. I know he's a brother in Christ. Was at a deal, and I asked him, I said, so how was your day? And he said, it's been a bad day. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear. I asked how his day was, but I didn't want to hear what his bad day was. And this guy, he climbs trees, he cuts trees, he trims trees for a living. I said, what'd you do, fall out of a tree? You know, and I tried to divert the question from what I really wanted to know, what his bad day was. And he just kind of jumped in, no, Clint, I'm safe, you know. That's how I make my living. I don't do it farmer style like you. When I climb a tree, I'm tied on and I'm safe. But I successfully managed that conversation from asking him how his day was to him saying it's bad, to diverting that, to bringing it back to me and about me. And then he kind of preached to me about how to trim a tree, you know. And I blew that whole thing off that night. And the next morning as I got up, I got to praying, and I found myself praying for that guy. I should have done it that night. You know, I'd kind of blown off. I asked him how his day was. He said it was a bad day, but I never really found out what made it a bad day for him. So I prayed for him, and it's not a guy I pray for very often, but I prayed for him, and I texted him, and, you know, I just said, I'm praying you have a good day. And he answered right back pretty quick. His text just said, and that I don't fall out of a tree with a question mark. And I thought, all right, that was kind of funny, but yes, I'm praying you don't fall out of a tree too. And then he texted me back how much he appreciated me praying for him. So, I mean, but I missed the opportunity. You know, there was an opportunity there. I asked him how he was. I asked a fellow brother. I had a chance to help with his burden. And to this day, I don't know exactly what his burden was that day. But how selfish of me. How important was I? I was so important that I diverted it right off of him, right back to me. That was wrong of me. I can say that. So that's the first zinger of this chapter that really kind of caught my eye. You think you are too important to help someone. You're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. So that's a little bit humbling. The second couple verses I want to talk about were verses 4 through 6. And mine reads, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Pay attention to your own work, get the job well done, and you don't need to compare yourself to anyone else. I make Sarah listen to some things once in a while, and she usually says, is that loud enough? She wants me to turn it down. And I had a video on this week I was listening to on my phone, and it was a conversation between two national, like, news anchors that, you know, and I don't know these guys outside of what I see them on TV, you know, but, and I watch some news sometimes and get a little wound up at times in the past and try to keep that in check. But these two gentlemen sat down together and had a conversation, and they recorded it, they videoed it, and it was edited. I know it was edited some, but they were both leading in their industry, both, you know, head of their networks that they was on. And if there was oil and water, that's what it was. You know, and I would watch one, and I'd watch another, and I'd watch one, and I'd watch another. And you'd see these guys, and it was just like it was ugly. And but as they, through this conversation they had, they've both been released to their job, fired or quit or whatever. One, I'd say, under protest, and one just because that was it. But it was interesting through this conversation how they could sit down together and talk. And from what I had seen of them, I thought there was no way these two guys can get along. But what I picked up through this conversation, one was very almost repentant of what he had become in his position. He realized that he had strayed from what his original goal was as a journalist and how he became trapped into things, how he did things that he wasn't very proud of and was being led. And he was very sincere. And this is how I read this conversation, very sincere and kind of repentant, but still just needing some satisfaction a little bit, a little justification, you know, for where he is right now today. The other guy, I probably relate to him a little bit. He was a little, I would call, lighthearted and laughed a lot, giggled a lot, kind of just took everything with a laugh. And there were some things that were probably kind of serious in the conversation that shouldn't have been. But there was a point in the conversation between the two. The one who was looking for some justification or satisfaction, he asked him, he says, well, didn't you care about your rankings or how many viewers you had? And the guy simply said, no. And the other guy said, well, didn't you care about your rankings? Didn't you care about social media? How many people were dogging on you? How many people were saying bad things about you? Didn't that bother you? No. Well, come on. Didn't your producer, wasn't he concerned about your rankings and your viewership was falling down and all these negative comments? And weren't you concerned about that? He said, no. He said, why should I care about some stranger that I don't even know? Why should I be letting them trying to tell me how to do my job? And this guy was very secure with where he was. But I just saw that as an example of a man who was comfortable with what he was because he did what he was supposed to do. His idea of being a journalist was, I'm going to ask questions and I'm going to poke at you. And I'll admit this guy seems kind of rude and kind of a jerk at times, but he's going to poke until you give an answer, and he will respect your answer if it's an honest answer. And that's what he said. And as I look back through some of his interviews, I think, well, both of these guys are very sharp, very intellectual, very good debaters. They'd make good preachers in some ways. But I just saw that as a person who didn't care what others thought, because if he knew he was doing his job well, he was comfortable with that. He said, I don't have to have everybody else tell me how to do my job. He said, I've got my family, I've got the ones close to me, I've got my kids, and I've got a wife. And we all know a wife that if you're doing something wrong, she's probably going to tell you about it. So he had that system in place, and that's all he really needed was for that. For him, that's all that really mattered. As long as he did his job good, he didn't have to worry about anyone else. But he was very responsible for his conduct. And then verses 7 through 9, actually 7 through 10, I'll read it again. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant, or you will reap what you sow. And the word karma comes to mind, and I still don't really know what karma, I mean, I kind of get the idea of karma, but you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. I think we kind of all understand that pretty well, but all I could start thinking about was, I'm getting my toes back into the farming deal a little bit. It's been a long time since I've been, quote, a farmer. I was a cowboy for a long time, so now I'm kind of getting back into that. But how things have changed. When I was a kid, we grew our own seed wheat, and I suppose a lot of people still do. But you always planted a little bit of certified seed every year, Dad did, and then you thrashed that, and you kept your combine clean, or the junk around the edge, you took that to town, but you kept the good stuff in for the bin. And then you would clean it. You would run it through a cleaner, and you'd blow out all the junk, all the light seed, all the poor seed. In theory, you'd try to get good seed that would grow strong. So that was part of planting. You know, you had to have good seed to have a good crop. I can remember planting. I can remember planting soybeans especially. And I'm so old school. Dad, we drove the planter out. He had an idea where to set it. We put it in the ground. We drove a ways. And then you got out and you put your foot down. And you put a mark here and a mark there. And then you started digging through the dirt. And you found a seed. And whether it was that deep, or that deep, decided whether you was in the right spot or not. And you counted how many seeds you had. And then you figured up germination on that, because not every seed grew. And then you come up with whatever the magic number was, 8 or 9. You need to have 9 seeds per foot a row or something. And you did that in 2 or 3 spots, and that was good enough. And then Dad would look up, and if he thought it was going to rain, he said, well, we can probably shallow that up a little bit. It's going to rain. And if it was dry, he said, well, we better put it in a little bit deeper. And now today, I'm not big enough. I go to town. I buy seed. They put treatment on it. Every seed gets treated, and it's protected. And I can't believe it, but it's almost like every kernel of corn germinates. Now, maybe somebody can tell me if that's wrong, but it's almost like when I had one guy come in and plant my corn the first year, he had a good planter. It's like there was a plant every 6 or 8 inches, whatever it's supposed to be, but it was almost perfect. Now, when I buy my old planter, I go out there and I walk around, and 6 rows look pretty good, but the 5th row in there, every once in a while, there's a gap like this, and I'm kind of like, well, something's kind of wrong there. But it's the seed, how much that's improved, how much the quality of the seed, how important that is. So what seeds do we plant, and where do we plant them? I will admit, I've planted a lot of seeds in my life, and some of them probably not near as good as others. And I believe my seeds today are better than they used to be, and I want mine tomorrow to be even better. But there's also times that I've planted seeds in my life that my seed wasn't very clean. I probably had some junk come along with it in my life. So I just ask you, where do you plant your seeds, and what's that look like? We're talking about planting and harvesting. So as a farmer, you plant something, You got good seed. You know that's the, man, you've done everything right. You've made good seed bed. You get this plant growing, and you have to nurture this seed along. We do things to provide for it. We give it nutrients, whatever it needs, we think we can provide, so we try to do that. But one thing I do remember, I think the only agronomy class I had in college was a range management class, and he gave the illustration of a rain barrel. And I'm talking about an old wooden one with staves, well, I call it staves, but it had like curved planks, like a whiskey barrel with a steel band around it. And the example was, you can fill that thing full of water if all the staves are full or if all the staves are in good shape. But if you got a hole in one, or one is broke two-thirds of the way down, how full can you fill that barrel full of water? You can only get it two-thirds of the way full. So the theory was, if you wanted your maximum crop, you had to have all of these staves in good condition. And they all had to be perfect. They might be different amounts. You know, there's times that you can put on all the nitrogen in the world and you put on even more than you need, but you're not going to get any benefit from it if you don't have water. Or vice versa. Whatever the limiting factor was, that's the most that you're ever going to get out of your harvest. You'll never will reach the maximum until they're all full. And then maybe you can raise them, but you can't just raise one. You got to continue to raise them all to meet your maximum performance, so your maximum harvest. So if we reap what we sow, if we harvest what we sow, we have to take care of that. And there's many, many people that plant many, many things in this world. And I'm talking about spiritual things. And we plant into people's lives, into our own lives, into our community, and into our churches. And as we plant into them, there's many, many people in this world that they say they know God or they know of God, but they don't really know God. They don't know a God that provides me love, provides me with blessings. They know of him, but they don't know him. There's many people in this world that have heard about Jesus, but they don't understand Jesus. They don't know what he really did for me, that he truly died for my sins. He paid the price for that. And then there's people in the world who've heard of the Holy Spirit, not as many as I think there should be, but they know of the Holy Spirit and his position. But we kind of hold him down a little bit. And I think of that rain barrel effect. For me to have good seeds and get a maximum harvest, my rain barrel, each stay needs to be to the max and well-maintained. I'm thinking of just three planks, whatever you call that, around the barrel. So my barrel is small and tall. But I got to have God, and I got to have Jesus, and I got to have the Holy Spirit. Because when I know that how much God loves me, that everything that he's provided for me, and I know that Jesus forgives me if I have a repentant heart and willing to turn away from my sins and change my life, that the Holy Spirit will dwell in me and gives me power that I wouldn't have without that. I have to have all three of those things to truly maximize my harvest. And that's what I want us to remember about sowing, planting, and reaping, and harvest. We have to have all three of those things to truly reap a great harvest. When you plant a tree, a little different type of farming, it takes a long time for that harvest to happen. A lot of times you can plant a tree, and it's several years before you can stand under it and even get any shade. Be several more years before it's big enough you can put your picnic table underneath it and protect your family from the shade. Take a long time before it can produce something. And even a fruit tree might take a few years before you're getting any fruit from it. A shelter belt, we all know how important that is. How many times have we planted a little sprig of a cedar tree or pine tree? Just a little sprig. It takes years before that thing's long, tall enough we can kind of duck behind it and feel, hey, it's starting to work, you know. In 20 years, 30 years, it finally grows up and you don't even realize how it grew up. And it's like, wow, this thing can really protect me. And sometimes it takes a long time for that harvest to happen. Sometimes that harvest probably happens after I'm long said, done, and gone. It talks in here about sowing your sinful nature will harvest decay and death. And in Galatians 5, there's the whole list of things in there that's right at the end of Galatians 5 that what happens when you sow into your sinful nature. But to sow into the Spirit you'll harvest everlasting life. And there's also a list in Galatians 5 of the good things that you get when you sow good seed into the Spirit. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and patience. All the good things in life. Verse 9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. If you buy a set of calves and you're raising cattle and you lose 25% because they just got sick and died. Dallas probably knows about this. I don't know. What do you do with the last 75%? Do you quit? 50% of them are there? You don't quit. You stay right after it. If you have 10 fields of wheat and you've thrashed 9 of them, and it's been a long harvest. It's been muddy. You've had breakdowns. And you're tired. Do you quit? Do you go ahead and finish? You have to finish. You have to finish through the harvest. That's where the profit is. We all know that. I see hay bales sitting around. These are just things a cowboy thinks about, all right? You see, and I'm all about keeping some inventory for next year, because you never know what's going to happen. But when you see somebody who's got 20 bales of hay stuck under a hedgerow and they've been there 10 years, they can't even pick them up, it's like, my gosh, look at that profit they left laying there. That's just the greediness in me. But you have to be able to finish. You have to be able to get through to the end to see the harvest. I think we need to be aware of that. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And finally, the last thing I want to bring out of Galatians 6 this morning was verses 14 through 16. And this is another one that I can kind of fall a little lax on. It says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It didn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. You know, it's easy for me to read that part. As for me, may I never boast about anything. That's a zinger for me, because I've already told you about pride. I've already told you my first example of how important I am. You know, and I may walk out of here and somebody might say, Clint, man, those were great words. You did a really good job. And I would thank you for that. But, you know, to be known that I was Christ's servant would be even better, would be great. You know, my pride can get in the way. The one thing I don't want to do is boast on something that's not mine to boast about. And I just want you all to know that we have a Savior who's worthy to be boasted about. And I have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit here this morning in our praise and worship. You guys are great. And I hear this enthusiasm in this church. That's what I want to be known for. The other day, a while back, I got to ride with a guy. I've met the guy one other time. We was in a truck for 6-7 hours, and we were just talking. And he realized I was getting tired. He said, you want to drive? I said, no, I'm all right. So he changed his conversation, and I knew through our conversation. It's funny, I picked this guy up, and he says, now, honestly, I don't say very much. I said, well, good, because I don't either. I can just sit in here all day and be happy. Well, we jabbered the whole time, and as I started to get a little tired, he noticed, and he switched that conversation, and he said to me, he said, so tell me, Clint, how do you want to be known as? And man, it just came right out of my mouth. I want to be known as a Christ follower. That's that. I mean, everything else, if I'm focused upon Christ, everything else will find its place. All the things of this world that I think are important will find their place. I'll probably find out that a lot of them aren't near as important as I think they are. But I will boast in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the interest of this world will be crucified, and I will also die to that. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. That is so hard for many of us to get, to be transformed into a new creation. I'm a long ways from being totally new, but I'm a lot different than I used to be. And I have a desire to even be a better creation. I mean, God created each and every one of us. For us to get to recognize that and to appreciate that and to be all that He wants us to be. And finally this morning, I'll just end with the last verse of the book. It says, "Dear brothers, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this place, this opportunity, this church. Lord, I pray for each and every family here and each and every person who's here this morning, Lord, and all the people that they touch and all the seeds that they've sown, Lord. I pray that it'd be a bountiful harvest, Lord, and a harvest that is of heavenly sorts, not of this world, Lord. Lord, I just lift up each and every person, Lord, and if there's anyone who doesn't understand that, Lord, to just give them the courage that the Holy Spirit just moved upon them, Lord, in a way that they'd be willing to ask. And I also pray, Lord, for the person here who knows that person who needs a little nudge, that we'd be willing to step out and to be bold and to help, Lord, whether it's a simple nudge or a direct conversation, Lord. Lord, I just pray that each and every family here will be safe throughout today, throughout the week, that we can go out and we can plant good seeds, Lord, seeds of the Spirit. And Lord, we just pray for a great and mighty harvest at just the right time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.